Labyrinths is brought to you by Knox Robinson Productions. Please consider becoming a patron. For as little as $5 a month, you can listen to Labyrinths ad-free.
Visit patreon.com/KnoxRobinson to learn more.
I'm Amanda Knox.
And I'm Christopher Robinson.
And this
is Who's Right? Between our usual Labyrinths episodes, we sit down to debate something quite serious.
Or silly.
And ask you, who is right?
It's me.
It's me.
It's me.
It's clearly
me. No, definitely me.
It's me.
Me.
No. Me.
It's me.
How could it be anyone but me?
Says the man sleeping on the couch.
So today we're talking about multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just finishing up an email here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So
I'm pro.
This is an actual Who's Right that came up.
All Who's Rights are actual Who's Rights.
Well, this was one that
this happened last night.
Last night before going to bed, and we actually in the middle of it were like, we need to fall asleep. We're going to do a Who's Right about this in the morning. And it was not, should one have matcha
or mushroom mud water?
we'll let you listeners decide on that there. Instead, it was the question of multitasking. So, should we explain how this came up?
Well, yeah, we were watching Star Trek Voyager.
Mm-hmm. After a long day of juggling the kids and juggling work.
And I was taking care of some emails while we were watching Star Trek.
Yes.
As you do.
As
I thought it was a perfectly valid way to spend my time.
As someone could do if they didn't want to be present with their wife.
Yeah. They really wanted to disrespect their wife and make them feel like they didn't really care to fully occupy their attention with the presence of their wife.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the issue here, and I think this is actually, this is a really good one for us to tackle because it's been one of my biggest pet peeves with you.
Mm.
I love you. I think you're amazing. You're a diligent worker. You're a hard worker. You're an excellent worker. You are a workaholic. And you find it very, very hard to put things down and just be, or even to just do a single thing at one time. So it's not, you know, you can't watch a Voyager and hang out with your wife. You have to be also be doing answering emails. You can't be playing
for the record,
with the kids.
I don't want to be answering emails at 8 p.m. You don't believe me?
I believe that you find ways to occupy your time.
It's because in the middle of the day, I'm not able to get all that stuff done that I need to do.
That's not true. There are other things. So
the kids especially just take up time, you know?
That is true. However, we are doing things in our life to delegate certain tasks, and certain tasks that you continue to choose to do are tasks that you don't have to do, like answer DMs, and you still choose to do them instead of being fully present or focusing on one thing at a time. And I'm going to make the argument today.
Make it. Go.
That if you really care about whatever it is that you're doing, even if it's just being...
just watching an old TV show
with your wife, you should just be fully immersed in it and not be attempting to do two things at once. Because I think that ultimately, one of those things that you tell yourself that you're also doing gets sacrificed in the process. And
what you're essentially arguing here is that anything worth doing is worth doing well.
Yes, and with your full attention.
And I just don't agree with that.
Okay.
I think that some things are worth doing with half your brain. And
okay. Like,
like hanging
being
out with
your
being
wife.
Present with your wife. It's the good part of my brain that wants to hang out with you. The workaholic is over there doing emails. Doing laundry, you know, like cleaning. There's a lot of people are probably listening to this podcast while doing something else. Like podcasts as a medium are also a thing that a lot of people don't devote their full attention to, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. And I think that when you look at the costs of multitasking, cognitive task switching, as it's called in the biz.
Because let's be real, your brain actually can't do more than one thing at a time. So what it's actually doing is flitting back and forth between the things that supposedly doing at the same time.
Which is also what a computer does. Like, it may seem like your computer is playing music and you're operating Microsoft Word.
Your computer is not in a relationship.
But there's not parallel processors. It's just the illusion of simultaneity, right?
Right.
So if you're doing something that really matters, if you're working on something that requires deep focus, you're writing a book manuscript or say something like that, interrupting yourself every few minutes to check an email or see a notification on your phone, like, that comes with a psychological cognitive cost that I don't think is worth it to the activity that requires deep focus. And so in those kind of circumstances, I'm all for not multitasking, not being interrupted, set your phone to silent, you know, or put it in another room. But plenty of tasks don't require deep focus. And for those tasks, I am pro multitasking, because there's a lot of little stuff in your life that you need to do that. is not an argument.
I'm going to push back on you, my dear, and say that there are a lot of things that are worth doing. And so many of the things that we choose to do when we are multitasking are not those things. So again, I'm going to push back and say, okay, so I think that, yes, you have to answer certain work emails. Yes, you have to pay the electrical bill. Yes, you have to do the laundry. And not all of those tasks require your entire brain. However, I don't think you're taking into consideration the cost of not being present, even in those things that don't require your full deep focus. Now, I'm going...
What's that cost?
Well, the cost is me being mad at you. Or the cost is not fully being, like, one of the things that deeply frustrated me and also made me really sad is when I see you answering emails when you're on kid duty and you should be playing with the kids, and you're like holding baby Echo and he's like squirming and you're just sort of like vaguely trying to get a bottle in his mouth. And meanwhile, like, your head is like, he's over here, your head's over here, you're trying to like do the thing on the computer. And like, I know to you, feeding the baby does not require your full attention, and therefore you should be able to do the other tasks. Mm-hmm. However, that is not his experience of you in that moment.
I feel like you're not appreciating is like all the little plates that I'm keeping spinning in our life, and that I don't want to have to be getting those emails done. But with two kids and often us just on our own dealing with them while also keeping the rest of our creative and work life going, and just household realities and applying for passports, all that stuff that we have to do.
I do those things too.
I know. But like, I'm still falling behind. I'm still not getting it all done. Mm-hmm. I would be getting even less of it done if I wasn't doing that. And if I was saying, well, it's my turn to feed the baby, I'm going to just devote my whole attention to this. What that would mean is that we would be missing more deadlines. We would be failing in more ways in our personal and professional
lives.
And
I think what we should do is do less in order to do more. To do less, but better. And that everyone in general should not find themselves in a situation where they have to sacrifice presence in order to get all the things they have to do done.
I mean, it just sounds like a luxury to me.
I don't think so.
Just design your life in such a way that your responsibilities allow you to be present in all the things that you do. And I don't feel like I have that luxury because there's too many things on my plate. And you're saying, well, a lot of those things are phantom things that don't need to be on your plate. And you could just cut them out of your life and things would be fine is kind of what you're saying.
Or you can just pace things in your life so that you can accomplish the things that you need to accomplish in a certain way. In fact, I actually know that there's people who are designing AI programs to help organize this kind of stuff for people so that when you do have actual downtime, because of course, like in our work life, it's not always like everything needs to happen all right now, or in our life, everything needs to happen all right now. Sometimes we find ourselves with downtime and we're just, you know, lollygagging when we could be doing that thing that would prevent us from having to spin the million plates
in one
moment.
Well, that's when I'm being present. You're telling me not to be present in those times?
No, I'm not saying
that. That's lollygagging to me, you know?
Okay, so hanging out, being present with your children or your wife does not count as lollygagging.
What's lollygagging?
Lollygagging is when you don't tell me that you don't know what it's like to lollygag in the sense that, like, the kids are asleep, you're in between a task, and you are absently scrolling on your phone.
I mean, I know what absently scrolling on my phone is like, but what if I'm just staring out the window and enjoying the view?
I would love for you to do more of that because this is so interesting to me that you're like pushing back against this after having spent 7 days in a meditation retreat where it was totally designed for you to do one thing at a time very mindfully. And you're coming out of that experience going, give me my plates.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
what is up with that?
It's a little bit like Burning Man where, cool, there's no money at Burning Man. How did they make that happen?
Well,
a bunch of people paid money into this system. It's, you know, it's funneled by money from the outside to create a temporary bubble where there's no commerce.
Okay, but so
my life in that meditation retreat where I got to do is a life of sort of cognitive luxury where I only had to do one thing at a time.
So is your argument then that theoretically a world in which we could be focused on one thing at a time and mindful in everything we do sounds like a lovely, impossible fantasy, and that I am unreasonable whenever I get upset that you're ignoring me or the kids because you're doing emails?
It's not an impossible fantasy. It's something that I hope for in retirement. It's something that in an ideal work-life balance, you wouldn't have. I would like to have our jobs here exist in such a way that it wasn't that way. And I want to be taking steps, you know, to get it to be that way. And it would be nice if we were successful enough that we could not feel like we're hustling and doing a bunch of different projects at once. Because the few projects that we are doing, we know are going to pay the bills, right? That isn't our reality right now. And so the hustle factor is still up at a place that not only creates a general anxiety about success and money and all these other things, but also requires a level of multitasking, I think, to keep all those plates spinning. And some of those plates never pay off, but that's kind of the business we're in, right? This is the choice we've made to be creatives, is to spend a lot of our time pursuing projects, many of which never pan out, in the hopes that one or two does. And I I'm okay with that trade-off because it really matters to me to be able to do something creative. And if that's the cost of that, then it's a price I'm willing to pay.
I guess the thing that I'm suggesting is that what's not an okay price to pay is sacrificing presence with the things that matter most. Because if you really ask yourself, what are we all doing this for? It's not so we can make a podcast or so we can make a TV show. What are we doing this for? We're doing this so that we can be fulfilled in life.
Mm-hmm.
And if the entire time that we're fulfilling ourselves, we're also driving ourselves crazy and not allowing ourselves to be present, then that's not worth it to me. Because then you're telling yourself you're doing something, but you're not actually doing it.
Hey, listeners. Thanks for tuning in. This podcast is only possible thanks to listener support. So please consider becoming a patron. Visit patreon.com/KnoxRobinson.
So something I've often done in this end of the day, watching a TV show mode in the past is like, go do our budgets, right? Mm-hmm. Like keep our books in order so that when it comes time for taxes and everything, and we're not way behind and overwhelmed with it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you appreciate that I stay on top of our budgets, right?
I appreciate that.
For both household and work. And it's like, that's a task that involves me, like, it's not mindless, but it doesn't take all my brain. And I could be listening to a podcast while doing it.
Here's where
I'm either going to do it in the middle of the day, in the work day, or I'm going to save that half mind task for a time when I can partially relax. And my question to you is, would you rather me say, well, I got to do our budgets. I can't watch a TV show with you tonight. I'm going to go in the other room and put on a podcast and do the budgets. Or would you have me sit there while, you know, and half pay attention to Star Trek while doing the budgets?
What I want is for you to not tell yourself or expect me to believe that you're spending time with me when you're working on the budgets. And
that's not quite an answer to my question.
And that you recognize that at this point in our life, because of kids, there are very, very, very few precious moments where it's just you and me focused on each other.
That's true.
Like, very few.
Mm-hmm.
And very specific.
But this is watching Star Trek. It's not like you're focused on me. You're looking at the TV.
You know that it's different to watch a show with another person.
It's true.
And to be laughing together. Like last night when I finally got you to get off the computer, we had moments where we were laughing together about the show we were watching because we were just engaged with it
because
together.
Apparently Commander Chakotay fucks holograms.
Yes. Okay, so sidebar. This is an episode of Voyager where
Janeway is falling in love with a hologram character who she has like tweaked his personal settings so that he's kind of like her perfect romance novel, you know,
character. And I was like, wow, this is just a show about masturbation. And then there's this great moment where
she's like, I'm worried about, you know, taking it too far.
And then Chakotay's like,
he is a hologram after all, you know.
Chakotay's like, never stop me. I'm just like, Chakotay just admitted to like fucking the crap out of hologram character. It's a whole Westworld scenario on Star Trek. Anyway, so we had a lot of laughs about that you probably would have been tuned out.
We're also in this, like, we have a 7-month-old still,
mm-hmm.
and we're not getting as much sleep as we want to get, and it takes a lot of our time to care for him,
mm-hmm.
in addition to having a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
And our life isn't always going to be this full of personal and work responsibilities at the same time.
Which is why I'm arguing that we should be very mindful of how we're spending time, which, like, all the more reason we should be very mindful about how our attention is being delegated.
And what I'm arguing is that what this could mean is that I just have to check out until Echo is a year old.
I think that's why a lot of people get divorced.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna, I can't do TV at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I have to keep working because I didn't get an 8-hour workday in, and I have more than 8 hours of work already. I got a 3-hour workday in because I'm juggling kids at the same time.
We can discuss that.
Right. And so if the kids are both asleep finally and it's 7:30 or 8 p.m., like I get work done from like 5 a.m. to 6:30. That's another window at the end of the day where I also could get uninterrupted time. Unfortunately, I'm tired by that point and I'm not at my sharpest cognitively. And so I don't want to be like doing the hard, deep focus work then. But that is the time when I could be paying bills and doing that other kind of upkeep of your life and of your work life. Replying to emails that like needs to be done, but that I would rather take my those precious hours of morning focus time that I have and devote it to the actual creative work. So, you know, one option is that I just decide I'm not going to do that relaxed time with you and I'm just going to keep working. That's not what you want, right?
I mean, maybe it is what I want because
at least it's not a lie that I'm watching Star Trek with you.
Not a lie. I don't know. Like, I feel a little lied to when it's like, oh, we're going to watch something together. And then you're like, plop, tugga, 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 tugga. And I'm just like, okay, bye.
Are you denying that you do any sort of multitasking like this?
I'm not denying that I do multitasking like this, but I also don't like it. And when I catch myself doing it, I go, I'm not here. I'm just not here right now. And this is not what I should be doing. And I don't know. It's a big deal to me.
I know that you'll like call your sister while you're folding laundry. You know, what about that? You're sort of taking care of a social relationship upkeep thing. It matters to you to keep in touch with your sister.
Mm-hmm.
You also got to fold the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing that needs to be done.
Yep.
You're not giving your full presence to your sister in that moment because a part of you is focused on the laundry.
So
why is that okay?
Well, and now I think we're discovering those key things that it does make sense to do multitasking because one task does not interfere with the other one. Doing emails, I would argue, is not the same thing as folding laundry because—
Is it just a smaller slice of mental attention that it takes?
Yes, and it's a different kind of mental attention that it takes. So— You know, it's very traditional in like from hunter-gatherer times for people to be weaving baskets together and chatting or telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, however, be telling stories while you're poised for the hunt. You know, like there are certain things.
So you're saying like if you were knitting while we were watching Star Trek, like that's fine.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean,
or if we were folding laundry together while watching the show, that would be fine.
Maybe you're overestimating how much cognitive load it is for me to
I know
handle.
How much cognitive load it is for me to see your eyes on a screen.
Yeah, but
and
when you're doing
me.
Like a cross stitch while we're watching something, right?
I mean,
you're staring at this the whole time and I'm like, you're not even seeing what's happening.
Actually, I would argue that like cross stitch is taking too much of my brain and should be spent focusing on either the cross stitch or the other thing. Folding laundry, no. Going
for a
walk and listening.
Plenty of cross-stitching while we've been watching something.
That has been, it has been a minute since I cross-stitched
that's,
anything.
That's true.
So.
your total hours of cross-stitch time are up there. And plenty of them have happened while I was next to you ostensibly watching a show together.
Sure. And I would argue that
you're
that's
saying
probably
you've evolved beyond that.
Yeah, I think so.
You're an evolved person.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't done it, have I? I don't know. I feel like we haven't really come to a, like, I feel like we've not really done a good job of like trying to appreciate the other person's point of view here.
I understand that you want my presence when I'm hanging out with you and with the kids. I think this is a little too personal though. And maybe I want to broaden this out into an abstract, you know, into the way that applies to anyone dealing with this issue, that is it okay ever to take two tasks that you feel like don't demand your full attention? Like, what if it's just in the middle of your workday and you're like, well, I know that I need to have this catch-up Zoom with some colleagues, and I also know that I need to do this data entry task and go through and like, can I have my Excel thing open and kind of be highlighting some
argue that you can't do both of those things at the same time, because they're tasks that require similar parts of your brain and attention. And so they can't, but what it would ultimately end up happening is you wouldn't actually be listening to anybody on Zoom.
I mean, sometimes you're in meetings that you
don't want to be in. Then yeah. I would argue you should probably try to excuse yourself from the meeting and just be like, okay, guys, thanks.
I mean, again, luxuries. Like, yes, in our ideal world, none of us would ever be in meetings that we don't want to be in. But oftentimes, I think people find themselves, whether they're in a corporate environment or whether they're independent creatives like me.
I think what I'm saying is that if you are in a situation like that, what you're doing by doing the data entry is you're choosing not to participate in the meeting. You have the window up. You're mm-hmm. there. You're there, like, in the sense that you're participating in class.
Yeah.
You're physically present, but you're not actually mentally present. And you've made that choice. Mm-hmm. You're saying to yourself,
and I'm saying sometimes
this
that's
interaction,
the right choice.
Well, but you've made a choice to not be present in the other thing. So you should not be telling yourself, oh, I'm multitasking, I'm participating in a meeting and doing data entry. What you're doing is you have a screen up and you're doing data entry. Like, you're not actually participating in the meeting is what I'm arguing. Now, if you are in a situation where, like, your work requires you to be in meetings that you don't actually have to be in, fine. Like, I'm not going to tell you to, like, get into arguments with your boss about how his stupid, you know.
You have this. Your life, you are often in Zooms that, you know, you're part of saying something you know is going to come, you know, in minute 30 of this thing, and other people are going to be talking for a while before it's on you to say anything. And they're saying stuff that you already are deeply versed in or that you know, but, you know, social responsibilities or...
Like, give me an example of this. What are you talking about?
When you've been on, like, you know, board meetings for nonprofit things, and they're discussing like budgets and stuff that are like have nothing to do with your role for the board.
Well, and in fact, that's why sitting there kind of, at times I've been like, I don't know if I should be on a board.
Well, you have valuable contributions to the nonprofit. It's just not giving advice about how to divvy up the funds. Like, that's not your skill set, and that's not the wisdom you bring to the nonprofit. But you're required to like be there for the quarterly meeting because you're a board member. And then for the first 30 minutes, you're sort of sitting there eyes glazed while they talk about stuff that you don't really have any input on,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so is it a shame for you to be replying to an email secretly in the background while that's happening until it gets to the part where you have something valuable to offer?
I think technically it would be a very big shame. And if I was in that situation, I probably shouldn't be on the board. Look,
if you
I'm
do
not,
that out there, I support it.
Look, I'm not arguing that there are certain situations. Like, I am saying that if you find yourself in these situations where you're having. So here's the thing for me. Everyone is always choosing to do something. No one has to do anything. And so I don't like framing it as I have to be responding to these emails.
Yeah.
No, you are choosing to respond. You are choosing
I'm
to do your work.
I'm just choosing to pay the electrical bill.
You're choosing to pay the electrical bill because you want to have electricity, which is great. But don't tell yourself that you have to be doing them.
Have to do is shorthand for there are other values and choices I've made in my life that entail certain other things.
But
so
I think
like
that
I choose to live in a house
with
electricity.
It is powerful,
right?
However, to remember that it is choice. And the thing that I think we trick ourselves into putting ourselves in a situation is we end up resenting the lives that we've chosen or suffering unnecessarily because of the choices we've made, because we have told ourselves that they are not a choice. And so I want me, I want you, I would encourage everyone to remember that they are always choosing to do whatever it is that they're doing and be mindful of that choice and be mindful of the choice of not doing something fully, because I think not doing something fully, even something as simple as making yourself some tea, comes at a cost. And I think that a lot of people
and there's a benefit.
Think about the cost.
Not just the cost side, but to have a positive takeaway from the silent retreat I did, you know, there is a actual positive benefit to focusing and being purely present with one motion, one activity, one whatever it is you're doing. As you said, whether you're making tea or whether you're folding laundry or meditating or staring out the window or having a conversation, like, it settles you. It gives you a sense of peace, even joy at times. It quiets your
delight
ego
in,
mind
in the small things in life.
I'm aware of all of that. And one of the things that meditation
retreat, and you choose
to
ignore that.
It highlighted for me how much my life is already structured in a way that I don't feel that I have the luxury of doing that, which is a shame, because I want my life to be more like that meditation retreat. And it's not. And I come back and I'm like, I come back from Burning Man and here I am in the world of commerce. And I wish I lived in the world where we didn't have to buy things and use money to interact with each other.
I'm saying that anyone can find a way. Like, I think that life is the only thing life is what's happening to you in the present moment. And the only way that you can fully live your life is to pay full attention to it. And so if you're telling yourself a story about how you have to do all the things in order to be alive and be a person, what you're doing is you're telling yourself a story that inhibits your ability to fully live your life.
I mean, it sounds all good and spiritual until, like, your electricity gets cut off because you weren't multitasking and you just weren't able to keep up with all those little things that keep your life going.
I just think you have to choose to, like, we need to be mindful about choosing to go in a direction. Like, if your life is not in the situation right now where you can live your life fully and be fully present, we need to be making choices that get us in that direction, is what I'm saying.
I think maybe we need to turn this over to the listeners.
Do you guys have any questions about this? Are we being clear?
I think we're being clear. Yeah. I think our fundamental disagreement here comes down to whether or not you can easily even tell or diagnose if your own life offers you that luxury of streamlining and focusing, because my claim here is that for me and for a lot of people, it's actually true that you don't have the luxury of being present with everything you do, because and that the things that are on your plate are not things that you can just choose to get rid of without having other drastic consequences to your life. You can't just choose to get rid of changing diapers for your kid. You can't just choose to get rid of having to drop your toddler off at school. You can't just choose to not pay your bills.
Yeah, I get the point.
You can't choose to not renew your car insurance. Like, there's all this stuff that piles up, and that's just personal life stuff. And there's all this work life stuff too. And I agree that you want to be moving in this direction, but I think that it still could very well be the case, and probably is for many people, that in our modern society, the way our lives are structured, especially in our little individualistic, you know, nuclear families where we don't live in a village, that the default state for a lot of people has become perpetually overwhelmed with too many tasks to take care of, because those tasks used to be shared.
And I would argue that that means that we're a broken society with broken relationships and unfulfilled lives.
There we can agree. Okay. It's society's fault. That's why I was doing emails during Voyager.
Mm-hmm. Choosing.
Society.
All right.
What do you guys think?
Yeah. Is there some way that we can resolve this?
If you're currently doing laundry or your taxes, I hope your taxes are done by this point. while listening to this, go right ahead and keep on doing that and let us know that you agree with me. Now, if you're giving your full focus and attention to this podcast, well, I suppose you probably agree with Amanda.
Please do reach out to us at knoxrobinson.com to share your thoughts and to check out all the rest of our work.
And thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Hello, listener. This episode of Labyrinths could be ad-free, but that requires exclusive access. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to become a monthly Patreon subscriber, which will grant you access to top-secret patron-only content. This podcast will self-destruct without your support.
Was that too cheesy?
Who doesn't like cheese? Visit patreon.com/KnoxRobinson.